Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. As always, I strongly encourage everyone to go to the Devil Radio website, download our app, go to the Apple and Google stores, download our app, carry Devil Radio with you 24-7 wherever you go, listen to your favorite shows. While you're at it, click on the link that says Support Devil Radio. Our listeners are the ones who wanted us to put it on there. You know that there are more than 80 right-wing broadcasts going out every day here in Wisconsin, attacking our democracy, attacking the integrity of our voting, dragging us down, attacking America, really, pushing the Trump big lie. Devil Radio is the clearest and most aggressive voice standing up against that. So thank you very much. Click on it and see how you can help Devil, support Devil Radio. Now, there's two aspects of the Rittenhouse and the Ahmaud Arbery case that are important to talk about. And very contrary verdicts, obviously, and I'm going to tell you my take on it. And I'm going to start with the less important and go to the more important. The less important one is, in each case, they put a defendant on the stand to testify. In each case, I thought that was a mistake. In the Rittenhouse case, that little frog-eyed wannabe started to blubber on the stand. It was obvious to me that it was insincere. In my opinion, it had been coached. He'd pretend to gasp for air, and then those eyes would peer around, seeing if anybody noticed. And I think my own take on it is the jury knew that it was fake, but they acquitted him anyway for reasons I'm about to discuss. It was devastating against the defendants in the Ahmaud Arbery case, in my opinion. They put the trigger man on the stand, the son, and he actually came across very honest. They said, "Did you shoot him?" "Yeah, I shot him." "Did he threaten you?" "No, he didn't." He admitted all the elements of first-degree murder, a first-degree intentional homicide, it's now called. He admitted them. Once the defendant, in his own words, admits the elements of a crime, the jury's guilt is lifted off their shoulders in convicting somebody. The jury's uncertainty, the jury's confusion about beyond a reasonable doubt means, it's all lifted off their shoulders. They heard it from the guy himself. He's a young guy. I think he was in his 30s. Spent the rest of his life in jail. That's a very big deal to send a guy away. The juries do not know what the penalty will be. They do not know what the jail sentence will be. They don't even know if he'll go to jail. But nevertheless, they know it. If you convict somebody of first degree intentional murder, intentional homicide, you are really ruining that guy's life. And it's a lot easier if he admits it. I don't know why they did that. They did it with just one of them, not the other two. I think they thought they were going to get good boy points. Get Boy Scout points. Well, when you admit to murder, you ain't getting any good boy points. You get bad boy points. I think that was a very foolish decision. A lot of lawyers would not have put him on the stand and said, "Look at this video. They were struggling and blah, blah, blah." That sealed the deal. That was one reason why that verdict came back so quickly. Now, in the Rittenhouse case, remember, the jury was out for 3.5 days. Why were they out for 3.5 days? Because it starts with some of them are going to convict them on a few things. But the object in jury selection is to pick a couple of strong personalities and the rest potted plants, a couple of bullies and the rest potted plants. And it's all about sorting out the potted plants and grabbing some of them. And then a handful of bullies and strong personalities, make sure they seem to be the kinds of people that go your way. And these people were for 3.5 days, they held out. Why did they finally cave? And I'll tell you, I'm going to say a few things that you'll think are strange. You'll think are strange. One of them is Thanksgiving was coming. People had to prepare for Thanksgiving. And juries are not told that if they can't come to a verdict, they'll be able to go home and the prosecution will start over. Some of them may have thought they'd be there through Christmas. And they may have figured, all right, there's only three or four of us who want to convict him and the rest don't. Well, the hell with it. We'll go along. The other thing, this is even stranger and it's more common up north, deer hunting season started that Sunday. Deer hunting season started Sunday. And anybody on there who was a deer hunter or a spouse of a deer hunter who had to be home with the kids when the deer hunter was gone has an incentive to get rid of this trial very quick. So what happened in my view, strong personalities prevailed. That's how justice works. I don't want to scandalize you as to how jury trials work. That's how they work. But the other thing is this. The bullies, the strong personalities need something to work with. It certainly did not help that the judge in the Rittenhouse case, in the words of Trump, attacking Mitch McConnell, was a broken down old crow, an aging hack who shouldn't have been on the bench, had his thumb on the scales, wouldn't let the murdered people be called victims, let them be called rioters and looters when that was false and there was no proof of it, chewed out the district attorney for something that was very minor, but he just shouted at him. And that, I'm sure, got communicated back to the jury through their relatives at home because they were not sequestered. So the hack had his thumb on the scales. If he has any decency, he won't show up in the supper clubs of Kenosha again. He'll retire and get out of town. And if he doesn't, he certainly should not be reelected. However, in the jury instruction on self-defense, some people can get confused. They did not get confused in Georgia, but they got confused in Kenosha. They got confused in Kenosha. A lot of them said, okay, well, yes, it's true. It's true that he shot Rosenbaum, who was unarmed, but Rosenbaum threw a plastic bag of trash at him that missed. So once he was attacked, he can then use deadly force and kill him. No, that's not the law, but that's how they interpret it. Then Huber saw him murder Rosenbaum and Huber went after him, only had a skateboard. Huber was there, carefree soul skateboarding, tried to whack the gun away at the skateboard and he got murdered. The jury went, oh, well, he was, quote, attacking him with a skateboard. In other words, disarming him. Therefore, he could use deadly force. And then Grosskreutz saw two men murdered and pulled out his Glock. Listen to me. Grosskreutz was justified under the law in shooting the frog-eyed wannabe Kyle Rittenhouse because he had just killed two people and he had a gun. He had a gun and could have killed Rosenbaum. He should have done that to defend himself. As a result, he got his bicep blown off. And the jury said, well, he held a Glock on him. Well, yes, he held a Glock on him, but he said he didn't use it, couldn't bring himself to shoot a kid, showed some decency. And so they said all that self-defense. That is absolute baloney. But they tried the same thing in Ahmaud Arbery, and it didn't work. And why is that? In Ahmaud Arbery, they said the same thing. We jumped out of the truck with a shotgun, and he reached for the shotgun. I was afraid he'd disarm me and shoot, use it on me, so I shot him. That was a defense. If you commit a felony, in this case, shoot two innocent men and point your gun at the crowd, you've lost your right to, quote, self-defense when somebody's trying to disarm you. And you can't just say, well, I was afraid he'd then take my gun and turn it on me. You've lost that right. The idiots in Kenosha, that jury, disgusting verdict jury, fell for that because a handful of strong personalities bullied the potted plants, broke them down after 3.5 days because of Thanksgiving and deer hunting. In Georgia, they didn't fall for it and they convicted right away. And that's what happened. If you're ever on a jury, it's not who shoots first is therefore exercising self-defense, because if Grosskreutz, the only guy there who had the right to use deadly force was Grosskreutz. He had a Glock. He had it trained on him. Should have used it if he wanted to prevent his bicep being shot off. and not have happened to him what happened to Huber and Rosenbaum. But he didn't do it. Decent guy. And the frog-eyed wannabe then blew his bicep off. Now every Republican hack in the country is trying to hire him on their staffs in Congress. Madison Cawthorn, Matt Gaetz, Paul Gosar, have him swagger down the hall grinning at people. His lawyer gave him the best advice that I've heard any lawyer ever give anybody. Keep quiet, shut up, fade into the background. He's not doing it. He'll be a target the rest of his life, and that is wrong, and he shouldn't be. But that's what's happening. When all this is going on, all of this drama, there are very, very important bills pending. Bills pending, we're going to get to after the break, on extending the debt limit so the country's not shut down, and the National Defense Authorization Act, over $700 billion that funds our armed services. It's the reason why Russia ultimately is afraid to do a lot against the West. China is afraid. If we did not have a National Defense Authorization Act, they would have occupied Canada a long time ago. You cannot trust Chinese communists, and you can't trust Russian organized crime, which used to be communists, and then they just factored out the communism part and left the murder, fraud, and organized crime part. That's what their governments are. They're slave states, China more than Russia, but they both are. They both are. So after the break, we will get to that. I'll leave you with one terrific quotation, which I think is great. Ted Cruz, one of the most vile senators in the U.S. Senate, attacks the United States all the time, said, quote, Anthony Fauci should be prosecuted. What did Anthony Fauci say? He said, quote, I should be prosecuted. What happened on January 6th, Senator? Oh, that was terrific. Good for you, Anthony Fauci. Ted Cruz, we'll get to him later as well. We're going to a break. The lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.